According to cultural provocateur Kathleen Parker, men are under siege, along with fatherhood and maleness in American culture. Parker says that feminism went astray, and instead of seeking power for women, it made men the enemy. Her new book is called Save the Males: Why Men Matter, Why Women Should Care. Kathleen Parker talked to Anne Strainchamps.
My ultimate goal here, of course, is to save men so that women have someone with whom to mate, marry, and raise the next generation. If you have only highly educated, well-qualified women, then I don't know who they're going to marry. Somebody once asked Harvey Mansfield that question. You know, he wrote the book Manliness. And with a completely straight face, he said, well, they're going to have to marry criminals. So let me just use that as my prefatory remark. Then let's look at some of the many, many signals that men, and particularly young boys and young men, get in the culture. I mean, if you just look at the television programming, for example, and the sitcoms, you know, the guy is always portrayed as an idiot. I mean, I get so much email from men who are so fed up with this that they feel, you know, is there any guy out there who has a clue? You know, you're either a doofus or a pedophile or a deadbeat or a wife beater. You know, it's just negative, 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 negative.
And you think the women come off as better?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely they do. Women are often portrayed as sort of more competent. And, of course, I joke with my girlfriends that this is, of course, true, but what you have to consider is not so much that one little sitcom is damaging. It is actually intended to be entertaining. But I think if you look at the larger picture, if that's all you're getting, if that's all that's being communicated, that gradually that image infiltrates the zeitgeist and just becomes part of a broader understanding that men are less competent and less honorable and less reliable than women.
Right before we move away from media, because I know you cover a lot of ground, I'm just curious, what do you make of, for instance, all the movies in which men are heroes and save the world from the forces of evil and the women are arm candy?
Well, I can't give you a statistic off the top of my head as to whether there is a balance there, but I think women are objectified in ways that are not attractive and that are not positive for girls, too. But I'm making a case for guys. This is the point of view that I took for this particular book. Now, I will say this, you know, there are people who have done studies about how the mass media messages convey men. And let me just say this. I know, for example, there was one, and all this is in the book, but I can't give you the exact numbers. I think there were 104 television programs in which a father was present. And only 4 out of that 104 was the father portrayed in a positive way. Mm. Now, you've got little boys growing up in a world, and girls too. I mean, I don't mean to say this is not harmful. I think it's harmful to girls as well. But you have boys and girls growing up without fathers in too many cases. I mean, almost a third of children grow up without a dad in the home, their own dad, that is. And so what they see only the dad is portrayed on television. Well, what are little girls and little boys supposed to think about what a father is and what he looks like and how he behaves? And I'm just suggesting that these kids aren't getting much in the way of positive role models.
I'm the mother of a little boy, too, and feel the same way about what I want for him in the world and in the future. I'm wondering whether some of that hostility you're picking up on that women have for men has partly to do with some of the changes that we've made in the world and in the workplace. You know, study after study shows that women are doing more juggling than men are. You know, we won the right to go to work and to have careers, but somehow we've still got the majority of raising the family and taking care of the housework on our plates also. And I think an awful lot of women do legitimately feel resentful about that.
Well, my position on that is women and men can figure this out. You know, we're not babies and we don't need studies and manifestos to help us figure out how to divvy up the work. I mean, if your husband's not doing his share, then don't do it. You know, sit down. I don't know what you do, but you talk about it. My husband and I do everything. We're equal partners, but that doesn't mean we don't have a flow chart in the kitchen that says, okay, I did the dishes today, you do the dishes tomorrow. If you get right down to it, those studies rarely take into account the things that men do that women typically don't do, whether it's taking out the garbage or doing the yard work or doing the plumbing or doing the repairs. I hear from men all the time who feel like, wait a minute, I take the kid out and throw the ball with him. Why doesn't that count? You know, it's not housework per se, as we've always thought of it, but it's part of child rearing. You know, I guess it looks like the guys are doing all the fun things, but in fact, the guys are doing what guys do well. I mean, men, fathers, you know, they tend to be the ones who encourage their kids to do riskier behaviors, while moms tend to be the ones who say, no, 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 you know, get off that wall. I've seen this in my own life. But we don't credit that. We don't, you know, we want to quantify everything according to numbers of hours spent and results seen. And the truth is, fathers, good fathers, I'm not talking about bad men here, good fathers do a lot of things that are not calculated in those studies that are equally valuable. They're just not the same.
You're concerned especially about boys and young men who are growing up in this kind of atmosphere. Could we talk some about classroom and what's going on there? Because that's another area that you've looked at. You know, for years we were told there was a huge, huge gender gap between girls and boys in terms of math and science. And I think it's still there, though maybe narrowed some. But what do you see going on in the classroom?
Well, it's definitely narrowing. Girls are catching up to boys in nearly every respect. I think they're still slightly behind in the math and sciences, but they're way, way ahead of boys in reading and writing. And of course, in an information age, that's a great advantage when it comes to the job market. But, you know, we went through this stage about late 80s, I guess, where we decided that girls were suffering this great self-esteem crisis. And we wanted to adjust things so that the classroom was more female-friendly. I don't get this. I mean, I grew up at a time when boys were wildly waving their hands and girls were sitting more quietly. But, you know, I don't think anybody felt thwarted. I mean, I'm one of those women. It certainly didn't hold me back. Hillary Clinton didn't get held back by boys who were more aggressive in classrooms. But the trickle-down effect of this idea that somehow girls had to be coddled a little bit more in class, or that may not be the right word, but had to be dealt with in a different way, well, the result has been that girls are doing better and boys are falling behind. We also did some adjusting to the curriculum that I think has been maybe better for girls, but not so good for boys, simply because guys don't have anything. They're not interested in the reading material, for example. The books are in the middle schools. The young adult literature has to do with issues that girls tend to be more tuned into, relationships, social problems. You know, there's no emphasis anymore on the books that little boys grew up with when I was coming along. Heroism, valor, courage, you know, the heroes that were sort of common fare once upon a time are no longer available, or certainly not as popular. And so by high school, boys have just stopped reading altogether, and they're dropping out at astronomical rates. And so we end up with this imbalance. Now, I'm not suggesting, and no one is suggesting, that we change the curriculum so that it's more boy-friendly. It's simply a matter of pulling back and saying, look, this should not be a zero-sum game. We need to do whatever works and find out those things that will help boys do well, so that these very accomplished young ladies have somebody to talk to.
As boys and girls begin to grow up and hit the middle school and then the high school age, it's hard to have a girl and not be aware of, I think, what you call slut culture around us. You know, there's just a lot of in-your-face, very revealing clothing, sort of attitudes on television and in the mass media that make a lot of parents uncomfortable. What do you make of that, that we've got a culture that seems to both denigrate men and also view women as sexual objects?
Well, it's extremely disturbing. I feel sorry for parents of daughters right now who are trying to raise them, you know, with healthy attitudes toward sex and toward their own bodies and their own self-image. But I also hear from mothers all the time that they can't find clothes for little girls that aren't revealing. And this is, again, it's the Sex and the City trickle-down, I guess, but the idea that, you know, we've sexualized everything in this culture, and it's unfortunately trickled down to these younger and younger ages, so that you now have cute little T-shirts for babies that say, I faked it, or, you know, I'm a porn star. And it's, you know, it's multifaceted, right? It's the pornification of the culture, where we've mainstreamed all sex all the time. And the girls see these women having such fun with their revealing clothes and their Manolos and just sleeping around and trying to find the right guy. The hookup culture, I mean, it's just on and on and on. There's so many different factors. And yes, we denigrate men and we sexualize women. And then we want men to treat girls with respect. And we have girls who think that hooking up with some random guy, doing a booty call or, friends with benefit, Fitz is cool and fun. You know, this has all just crept up on us. I don't think any one thing is to blame. It's the whole culture.
You know, I'm wondering if you take the long view of the gender wars, you know, back over the centuries, you know, there's always been this long rivalry between men and women, and men had the upper hand for centuries. You know, it's within, practically within living memory that women were able to own property and vote. So, I mean, what's wrong with thinking that if women are coming into more power now, maybe it's simply part of this gradual process of equalization, and in the end, you know, where we'll arrive is a place where both men and women can be free to determine their own paths and their own identities.
Taking the long view, I agree with you, and I think probably that's exactly what we're seeing. This is that staticky period where women finally have power, and we're getting more. The question is, how do you use that power? How do you wield it? Are you equally abusive? Do you become the worst man you ever knew? Or do you recognize that there is a responsibility that comes with power? And anybody who has a little boy will quickly see that the world is, that our culture is particularly hostile and applauds that hostility toward the male. And you can't abide it. You have to say, look, we don't want to be that kind of people. We don't want to have this kind of culture. And so women, maybe we show men that this is how you do it.
Is there something more at stake for you here? Because I think you write near the end of your book that you're very concerned that the gender wars, as you've described them, are destabilizing the American family and leaving it vulnerable.
Well, I do think that. And part of this radical feminization or radical feminism has been to applaud also the idea that fathers are not necessary, men are not necessary. And we've gone to a great deal of trouble, by the way, to prove that. It's not simply a matter of Hallmark cards and television programs. We have social scientists conducting studies trying to prove that men are not necessary. And then the media hops on and says, you know, we make single motherhood into kind of a higher level of evolution almost, where, look, guys aren't necessary to this process. We can do this by ourselves. We have all the goods, and now we have the money. We don't need them. Again, this is an overreaction to what you've described as this sort of historical imbalance. But where does that get us? You've got unwed mothers who are not really, you know, we're not all Murphy Browns out there. We don't all have the financial and social support that we need to actually do the hard work of raising children. And that's the part of the story that doesn't get told. I mean, fathers are not just, you know, a vial of genetic material. They bring special skills to the table. The ideal situation is a mother and a father and a cohesive family. And I should know, because I grew up without one of those. And I know that children really do seek that. They seek that predictable kind of, the kind of thing that makes us all feel, you know, angst and ennui is the very thing that children desperately want.
Kathleen Parker is the author of Save the Males, Why Men Matter, Why Women Should Care. She spoke with Anne Strange Champs.